وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته. آمين. بارك الله فيك أزرت مولانا سليم صاحب. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shower his rahmah and blessings on you. Ameen. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillahi wa kafa wa salamun ala ibadihi alladhina astafa. Amma ba'du fa'udhu billahi minash shaitani rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Innal ladhina amanu wal ladhina hajaru wa jahadu fi sabilillah ulaika yarjuna rahmatallah. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun. وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. All praise is due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the innumerable blessings He has showered upon us, which we cherish and enjoy every moment of our lives. We bear witness that there is none worthy of worship besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we bear witness that Sayyidina Hazrat Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, our leader and master, is the final messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Honorable listeners of Markaz Sahaba and Radio Al Ansar International, today we have an interesting story and a lesson that we can learn from a father and his son. So one day a father of a wealthy family took his son on a trip to the country with the firm purpose of showing his son how poor people can be. So they spent a couple of days and nights on the farm of what would be considered a very poor family. So on their return from the trip, the father asked his son, "How was the trip?" So the son replied, he says, "It was great, Dad." "Did you see how poor people can be?" the father asked. And the father was quite surprised when he got a response from his son. He said, "Oh yes," said the son. "So what did you learn from the trip?" the father asked him. So the son replied, "I saw that we have one dog and they had four. We have a pool that reaches to the middle of our garden, and that they have a creek that has no end. We have imported lanterns in our garden, and they have the stars at night. Our patio reaches to the front yard, and they have the whole horizon. We have a small piece of land to live on, and they have fields that go beyond our sight. We have servants who serve us, but they serve others. We buy our food, but they grow their own food. We have walls around our property to protect us, and they have friends to protect them." So the boy's father was speechless when he heard this from his son. Then his son added, he said, "Thanks, my dad, for showing me how great ungrateful we truly are." So this is a good message for our children, that I hope that to all our children are thankful for all the ni'mat and the blessings we get from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala every day of our lives. And as I mentioned previously, in matters of dunya, always look at the ones beneath you, you know, and how they are suffering and how content you must be. In matters of deen, look up at the ones above you, that these people are exerting themselves so much in their deen, why can't I exert myself? So we must be thankful for all of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's ni'mats. Now, today there's another story of the most important part of the body. This is also quite interesting. My mother used to ask me which was the most important part of the body. You know, so goes the story. So through the years, I would take a guess at what I thought was the correct answer. When I was younger, I thought sound was very important to us as humans. So I said, "My ears, mummy." She said, "No, many people are deaf. But you keep thinking about it and I will ask you again soon." Several years passed before she asked me again. Yes, since making my first attempt, I had contemplated the correct answer. So this time, I told her, "Mummy, sight is very important to everybody, so it must be our eyes." So she looked at me and told me, "You are learning fast, but the answer is not correct because there are many people who are blind." So, stumped again. You know, speaking about the blind, I went down the, recently, you know, to Madrasa An-Nur for the blind, and I was so amazed, you know, on our doorstep. Maulana Mirchi, what a tremendous work he's doing, that he has the kitabs, you know, Bukhari Sharif, or the Noble Quran as well in Braille, and you know, these students were reading out, and you know, Riyadhus Salihin, etc. It was absolutely amazing. So anyway, this just came in by the way. So stumped again, I continued my quest for knowledge, and over the years my mother asked me a couple more times, and always her answer was no, but you are getting smarter every year, my child. Then last year my grandfather passed away. So said the boy. So everyone was hurt, they were grieved, everybody was crying, even my father cried. I remember that especially because it was the only second time I saw him cry. So my mom looked at me. When it was our turn to say our final goodbye to Grandpa, she asked me, "Do you know the most important part yet, my dear?" I was shocked when she asked me this now. I always thought this was a game between her and me. So she saw the confusion on my face and told me, "The question is very important. It shows you that you have really lived in your life. For every body part you gave me in the past, I have told you are wrong. And I've given you an example why, but today is the day you need to learn this important lesson." Now this sounds quite interesting. She looked down at me as only a mother can. I saw her eyes well up with tears, and she said, "My dear, the most important body part is your shoulder." I asked, "Is it because it holds up my head?" She replied, "No, it is because it can hold the head of a friend or a loved one when they cry. So everybody needs a shoulder to cry on sometimes in life, my dear. I only hope that you have enough love and friends that you will always have a shoulder to cry on when you need it." That's when the boy said, "Now I knew the most important part of my body." And what we learned from the story is, if you look at the individual parts of the body, then those only benefit you. But here, when the mother is giving him the idea of a shoulder, it benefits others as well, that they have a shoulder to lean on, you know, and this is how the statement goes. So the shoulder, so that other people can find some solace, you know, when they speak to you about their problems. So give everybody a hearing always, never just stop them in their tracks, and always be encouraging to them, always let them know that they have a shoulder to lean on. It is so encouraging. Alhamdulillah. Now, following on this, we have a story of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam's hijrah to Medina Munawwara. And Hazrat, our beloved Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he woke up with a startle. What was that noise? He pulled his cloak tightly around him for warmth, sat absolutely still, and he listened. Here in Makkah Mukarramah, he knew he had many enemies. So our Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam began preaching about Allah and telling people to get rid of the idols they worshipped. And many people, even his own family members, became very angry. They had worshipped their idols for a long time. And besides that, the idols in the Kaaba brought trade and money to the people of Makkah. You know, they had the Lat, the Manat, and the Uzza, and so many idols in the Kaaba Sharif. So people will not change their ways just because our beloved Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam said they should. Who did they think he was anyway? So a quick prayer came from our beloved Rasul Hazrat Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam on his lips, and then he awoke his young follower Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala an, who was asleep sleeping close by. So everyone knew there were people plotting to kill our Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but no one knew exactly when. So Hazrat Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, our prophet, and his friends made plans to leave Makkah Mukarramah for Medina Munawwara. The people there were anxious to have Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam as their leader, unlike the people of Makkah. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala an, his great friend and supporter, were to now make hijrah in the dead of the night. So as Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu would take Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam's cloak and pretend to be asleep in the Prophet's bed. So that would give them more time to get away. So it was important to make sure that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam reached Medina Munawwara alive. So as Ali radiallahu ta'ala an lay down on Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam's mat, the sweat glistening on his forehead, his eyes were wide open, and he was listening for the slightest sound. So our Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam slipped away gently, you know, under the shadow of the sword, while Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu heard voices saying, Muhammad is there, asleep. At dawn, when he steps out of the door, we will silence him forever. By dawn, the party, you know, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was already gone. So the group of assassins crept quietly around the house where Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu was sleeping. So they flung open the door, swords flashing, but they stopped. They were astonished to find that only Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu was there, and he was too young to be of any importance. So the assassins howled with disappointment and were so surprised that they allowed Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala to push past them and walk out of the house towards the Kaaba Sharif. Meanwhile, our Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam and Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhum, they had avoided the road from Makkah Mukarramah to Medina Munawwara, the common road where they would have been seen and caught for certain. So they were on foot, climbing the rocky slopes to the caves near Makkah. They were covered in dust, exhausted and thirsty. So Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu was also at that particular time, you know, very, very worried and concerned. He could not believe, and he was also amazed. He could not believe a messenger of Allah would have to hide like this. So he called to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for help, and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam reassured him, you know, even when they were in the cave, La tahzan, inna Allah ma'ana, do not be grieved, Allah is with us. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will hear you, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, as Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu made dua. By nightfall, they reached the cave, and that is the cave of Thur, in Jabal Thur, but they could hear the clattering of the hooves of their enemies' horses close behind. So what could they do? So Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu was also worried, and he said, what shall we do? There are only two of us. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam pulled him inside the nearest cave. He said, you are mistaken, there are three of us, and that is, La tahzan, inna Allah ma'ana, that Allah is with us. So footsteps could be heard in the mouth of the cave. Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala held his breath. Then a voice was heard. No, they can't be in here. It's covered with spiders' webs and nests and branches. No one has been here since Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was born. So there was a sound of people moving away, horses' hoofs fading in the distance. As Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu let out a long sigh of relief, and he praised Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but he was too terrified to move. And what did they mean? Spiders, webs, and nests and branches. He opened his eyes. The cave did not look the same. Over the entrance there was indeed a beautiful silver spider's web, and above it a low branch with a nest where a dove sat cooing gently. So how did all this happen? As Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala asked, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam simply turned to his friend Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala and smiled. And when the two were certain that the enemy had gone, they left the cave that had protected them. You know, it was a solace for them, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala used that, you know, as a means of refuge from the enemies, and so they continued their journey safely to Medina Munawwara. And this was just part of the hijrah journey of our Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But it displays to us the firm resolve of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his absolute tawakkul and trust in faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And a very, very important statement, La tahzan, inna Allah ma'ana, do not be grieved, for Allah is with us. This same message we send to the despondent, suffering ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Gaza and Palestine and all over the world, that no matter what happens, La tahzan, inna Allah ma'ana, do not be grieved, Allah is with us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shower His choicest blessings on the Ummah. Ameen. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.